seated. Thank you so much. Will you turn in the scriptures, please, this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter? Your life's going to be changed today. Let me tell you, folks, something is going on at the church in Peachtree. And if you don't feel that, then you need to get saved. I mean it. Something's up. And one of the things that the Lord has really laid upon my heart is what will draw people to a church when you have so many availabilities on every corner? Why this one? Why will you be blessed to be part of a congregation? Personally, and I can't give you all the reasons, but I know this is true. The Lord is doing something. This is what I really think. I think the Lord is doing something miraculous here to show the world that you don't have to have millions of dollars. You don't have to have a mega church. You don't have to pay everybody an arm and a leg to get something done. A church in the middle of nowhere can affect the world with the gospel of Jesus. But it has to have something that is the generating factor, the generating, motivating factor in why we do what we do. What would make a person, and James, Brother James gave me a list of nations that were watching last week on the internet and have been watching. It's from Australia and New Zealand and Spain and Portugal and Norway and England. And right now, as we're sitting here, but what would make a person get up out of their own time zone, even a day later or a day earlier, and get up and watch a church in the middle of nowhere? What would do that? Is it the music? No. A lot of people have great music. Is it the preaching? No. My mentor told me that, and I've shared this with you, that if great preaching changed the world, it would have been changed 1,000 years ago. It's an organization. No. All these things are good. I love hearing a good sermon. I love being inspired. I love good praise and worship music. I love organization. It's something else. And it's called joy. If we are not known for our joy, then nobody's going to give us an ear. Nobody's going to give us a look. And nobody's going to care really what we think about anything. Joy in your life and in my life is the key. Now, I didn't say happiness. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. There's a lot of happy people. See, there's a lot of happy non-believers in Jesus. There's a lot of happy atheists. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But joy is reserved for the bride of Jesus. It's on every page of the Bible. I began to look at joy this week. Starting last Sunday afternoon, I went into my library and I began to, because I sensed joy. And where I sensed it was from something that happened last Saturday. We had that childlike grace gathering here last Saturday. And I walked in, and as soon as I walked in, I knew something was different. Something's going on here. Everybody, half the ladies were bawling like babies. I woke up to them, "How are you?" "I'm just blessed." "How are you?" "I'm good." "Don't talk to me right there." "No." I'm sitting there going, either something real bad has happened or real good. I couldn't get them to say anything to me. It's like, "Don't bother me now, I'm busy ministering." And people started coming in and lines started forming at the door. And I'm watching miracle of miracles. Everybody that I saw over there that's a part of this church had joy. And you know what else started to happen? People who had no joy when they walked in from the streets to get something for their children because they can't afford school supplies, it's contagious. They started getting joy too. And I'm sitting there watching, drinking my orange juice and eating all the donuts that I can get my hands on. And all of a sudden, I started getting happy, joyful. Which started me on this quest to figure out joy. First of all, did you know that joy is mentioned 128 times in the Bible? Trust me, I looked at every one of them. I did. I looked at every time it says joy. It's 128 times. Here's the interesting thing. The word happiness is only mentioned 4 times. That surprised me. Happiness is mentioned 4 times. Happiness, or happy, is mentioned 15 times. So 19 times between happy and happy. And here's the kicker. Listen to me. Every time it dawned on me, while I'm just looking at my concordance, and it dawned on me that every time the word happy or happiness is used, it's temporary. She was happy that she gave birth. He was happy that he received bread. They were happy at the word that they got of victory over their enemies. You see, it was temporary. But when I got into joy, it was eternal. It's forever. And then I got to thinking, have I ever even preached a message on joy? Not to my recollection. Have I ever really heard one? I don't know that I have. So today is going to start a 2-part series on joy. Next week, it's going to be rejoice. See, some of us need to be rejoiced. We had it once. We lost it. Time to get it back. Come on, church. If people do not, and I'm talking about a real joy, we're going to get into great depth this morning. So I have a question for you. If you're standing in the foyer this morning and visitors who've never been to church in their lives walk in, and you're the first Christian they've ever met, will they want what you are? Yeah, ouch. Will they want what you are? Or will they go, I can get this at a Kiwanis Club meeting. I can get this at a Rotary Club or whatever, or I can get this in a... No. Joy is the separating attribute of the people of God from the world. They can have happy all day long. I want joy. See, I can be... Listen to me. I can be... Because I've thought about this, and there's scriptural backing too, obviously. But I can be very unhappy and still have joy. That's okay. There may be a situation that I'm very unhappy with. I may be unhappy with my children or my grandchildren or somebody, or I'm just with a neighbor. I may be unhappy with you, but I can still have the joy of the Lord. So let's find out what it's all about. I sat there in my library and I thought, I need to define what I'm talking about, because I want to know what joy is. I want to know how it's represented in the scriptures, how Jesus utilized joy. So this is my definition of joy. An inward characteristic or fruit, inward, produced by the inner workings of the Holy Spirit as a result of a right relationship to God. Let me say it again. And if you're taking notes, I'll leave mine. And if you don't get this, I'll leave it up here. It's on both pages. You can just flip it over and see my quote. An inward characteristic or fruit produced by the inner workings of the Holy Ghost as a result of a right relationship to God. That's really, in essence, of what it is. Real, authentic, lasting joy, listen to me, that's what this says, is produced by the Holy Spirit. Don't tell me, I'm going to insult some of you, but that's okay. Don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't have joy in the operation and ministry of that Spirit. No. If you're walking around griping all the time and unhappy in what you're doing, don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, brings joy. So I just wish you were as filled as I were. You have any joy? No, then I don't want your filling. Your type of filling is not very biblical. When you find people filled with the Holy Spirit in the scriptures, they are a joyful bunch. They run around the streets naked. I'm telling you, they go crazy. Look at Pentecost. They hit those streets running, man. Holy Ghost came on them. Look at the birth of Jesus. You got everybody going crazy. You got the angels going crazy. You got the shepherds going crazy. You got the wise men going crazy. You got Elizabeth going crazy. You got Zacharias going crazy. You got Mary going crazy. You got Joseph going crazy. Whoa! joy to the world. The Lord has come. And we're sitting back as a church going, I just want to be happy. Oh, get over yourself and get some joy. The joy based by the Holy Spirit, the joy based on the Holy Spirit is that the Messiah has come. The Messiah is here. It is beyond me. If we don't pick up on joy, then what's the purpose of gathering? Stay home. We think, we've got a real bad idea of church. We think that we come to church to gripe and bear our burdens to each other. Bear your burdens to each other this afternoon. When you come into this place, get some joy. Because that's what people need to see, that those who have been in hard times, difficult times, still have something inside of them, Holy Spirit induced. They're going to want what you are. None of us are immune from deep personal problems. Nobody. But what I have that a non-Christian doesn't have is joy. He has happiness, and it's all based on whether he's getting his way or not, whether he has enough money or not, whether he doesn't have a water leak this morning, whether his car started, or whether his girlfriend's still with him. But joy goes beyond that. Here is why. Joy is a quality. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is a quality induced by the Holy Spirit. We miss that so much. Please take that down if you're taking notes. Joy is a quality. Happiness is an emotion that can change by the time you walk out of here. If you walked in happy because of my sermon or because of a phone call or a text that you just got, you may walk out of here unhappy. Joy doesn't work that way. Joy means that I can still operate in, you'll see what I'm talking about here in a minute, because we're going to go through the different attributes of what it is. Being religious does not give joy. See, we think, if I'll just go to church, if I'll just read my Bible, if I'll just pray a little longer or sing a little louder, listen a little harder, participate a little more in religious activities, then the joy will be the result. The Pharisees had all of those things. When Jesus walked into the Pharisees, ladies and gentlemen, dear church in Peaster, why do you think the multitudes were drawn to Jesus? Because he had joy. We always look at Jesus as going, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. The way that he said things, the way that he proposed the kingdom of God, the way that he talked about his heavenly Father, the way that he bestowed the Holy Spirit and the quietness of his spirit, the joy that he had in his life drew millions of people 2,000 years ago to a little place called the Sea of Galilee to listen to this man. They didn't care about doctrines. His doctrine was dead on. It is the doctrine of the gospel of the kingdom of God. His doctrine was right on, but he said it with joy. They weren't used to that. They were used to the law being hammered at them by the Pharisees. An unhappy group of men who knew the law, every jot, every tittle of the law, and yet they were the most miserable people alive. And here comes, I'm not saying he had this stupid grin on his face. He had an inner joy that expressed itself to the people. And they picked up on that. If I'm a professing Christian, what a person needs to see in me right off the bat is not doctrine, not theology, not apologetics, not organization, not a plan, not a program. They need to see joy out of the one talking to them. So how does it operate? What does it look like? Okay. Now remember, we talk a lot about mourning in the church. I'm talking about, grieving, mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning is all, and there's a place for that. The Bible teaches that there is a time for that. But mourning is always the result of a loss. So what's the first thing that brings joy? the realization of my gain. Oh boy, that just went right over everybody's head. Because what have I gained? Eternal life through the Christ. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and we're ungrateful and we have no joy because of that? Are you joking me? He has called us by name. He knows us by name. He called us before eternity was even in, the, before anything ever existed. And he knows you by name, and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can still be unjoyful. Just leave. Because I want to be around joyful people. When we walk in this church on Sunday mornings, I want to walk in and feel joy just slap me in the head. And if there's anybody named Joy in here, you do not have the permission to slap me in the head. But does your family operate under joy? Well, let's talk about it. Again, mourning is the product of loss. Joy is the product of gain. So if you don't know what you gain, you probably ought to think about receiving Jesus as your Lord. All right? So let's look at the attributes then. Here's what I did. I really cheated. Because I just knew I was up against the time schedule and in here. I didn't want to be in here for 5 hours, and you wouldn't want that either. But this is what I did. I just simply went down through my concordance, my exhaustive concordance to the New American Standard Bible, and I just said, 128 verses in there, and I said, all I'm going to do this week is read each one and tell me what it's trying to tell me about joy. What are the attributes of joy? And some of them, three or four of them, were the same. So if they were the same, I didn't look at it. So I just want to give you a few bases of what real joy is. And I was so blessed to do it. I look back on it and went, man, I need more joy. I've been praying for joy all week long, and it's working. I don't get it, but it's working. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost is more than willing to give you joy. It's what he wants. He wants the church, his church, to be well represented in joy. You may not know a single ounce of theology. But you know what? You know how to fix a sink, and I don't. And if your sink is broken, who would you rather listen to, me or a plumber? So you don't have to know a lot of theology. You don't have to know a lot of apologetics. You don't have to know a lot of doctrines. But you have to know Jesus. You have to know the Holy Ghost. You have to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Has it ever dawned on you that the Holy Spirit is as much of God as God the Father? So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all on the same page. We worship one God in three persons, but none is inferior to the other. God himself wants to give you joy today. Prepare your hearts for the next 20 minutes. Listen to me. Let's just go through some of these. I'm going to go through them very quickly. I'm going to stop and just show you what I'm talking about. I'm not going to stop, give you a verse on every one of these. I could, but I won't. First of all, joy brings spiritual strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You say, I don't have much strength in my spiritual walk. I have no power. I have no authority. It's because you ain't got no joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That also tells me that God is a joyful God. God's really not into throwing thunderbolts. That's Zeus, the Greek god. He's really not interested in drowning you in an ocean. That's Zeus or Poseidon. God is a joyful God. Second thing, I love this one. I just looking at him going, okay, what does that tell me? Nature participates in joy. Trees clap their hands. Oceans roar. Birds sing. Mountains bow down. Rocks cry out. I could go on. Seas part. Skies give rain. Clouds reflect his glory. You could go on. Nature participates in joy more than Christ's church does in this day. Nature can't help itself. We've all been there. We've all been sitting, and I think about it all the time. I think about it all the time. And I'm sure that if you just thought about it, every one of you have really thought this too. You've been sitting there with a real bad circumstance. And or maybe not. Maybe you're just sitting in your backyard. Maybe you're doing nothing. And you hear these birds just mouthing off. You know what they're doing? They're just doing what God told them to do. They are rejoicing. They're just being birds. So what God is asking us to do is just be Christians. Get some joy. Nature participates. Another one. It brings celebrations and song. It brings us. That's why if we walk in here and our praise and worship team is up here just working their rears off, trying to get us to participate, and we're not participating, something's wrong. You ain't got no joy. Your problem is overriding your joy. God never meant for it to be that way. Because ultimately, joy is only based upon trusting Jesus. Lord Jesus, I can go through all of these things, and I can go through all these problems, and I know this every night when I lay down my head, this is what I say, the last thing I need to say. Lord, it's been a bad day, but I still trust you. And all of a sudden, this joy, I can't describe it. Describe a flame of fire. Describe the wind for me. You can't do it. It's something indescribable that you know is in there, but it's so you're not really even being asked to define it. You're just asked to exude it and to show it, however it shows itself in your heart. So as a matter of fact, you'll love this. Praise and worship team, you'll love this one. It won't come up, but in Psalm 42:4, it calls singing the voice of joy. That's what it says. That's a quote right out of Psalm 42. The voice of joy is praise and worship. The voice of joy is praise and worship. The next thing, it is eternal. Joy lasts forever. I don't even know how to express what I'm about to say, and it'll probably come out wrong, but I really don't care, because by the time I'm done, you'll forget I said it anyway. If you don't have joy now, heaven is going to be one bad shock to you. I'll even go so far as to say you may want out of there to go to where you belong. If you don't have joy now, I don't think you're going to get up in heaven. If you die today and you wake up in front of heaven, I don't think you're going to wake up and go, oh, so that's what it is. I think I'll get joy now. Whoopee! If you resent it now, you're going to resent it then. It's not going to change your attitude about anything. So get joy now and practice on it so when you see it, you'll know what it is. And it won't take you 10 heaven years to learn out how to show it. You're already used to it. Joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. The next thing, and I'm going to talk about this next week, so I'm not going to say much about it. There is a restored joy. You can get it back. The next thing, and I'll talk about this in a minute. I'm just going to say it. If you're taking notes, it's a gift. It's a gift. The next thing, it's promised if you receive it. It's as much of a promise of God as your own salvation through faith in Jesus. It's promised if you will receive it. The next thing, it's beautiful. The scriptures call it beautiful. Joy, beautiful, joy, it's beautiful. The next thing, I love this one. It's entered into. In other words, it's not just something that God drops on my head in hopes that it soaks through my skull. It's something that I literally, you know, we talk about he who knocks on the door, you know, I'm ready to come in and have sup with him. It's the same thing with joy. I'm knocking at the door. You open it up, Christian. I'll give you some joy. But it has to be desired. It has to be, you have to enter into the joy of the Lord. That's where I got that verse. It has to be entered into. Not automatic. It doesn't come with everything else. The next thing. It's made full. The joy of the Lord can be made full in you. Right now, in my life, it's not made full. I'm still working on it. But I want to be full of joy. Not just a few drops, not just a few pints or a few cups of joy, but you can be full of joy. The next thing, there is a joy of Jesus. I want you to turn, please, to John chapter 15, verse 11. John chapter 15. By the way, before we do that, before I forget, let's go back. No, we won't. Do I need to go to, is that coming up? There it is. Watch this. It's the joy of Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. There it is. Jesus said, I want to give you my joy, and you have the capacity to receive my joy. Not only do you have that capacity, you have the capacity to get a whole boatload of it. I am, Jesus said, in essence, joy. And I am willing to give it to you as a gift. Let's look at this next one. It overrides sorrow. It overrides sorrow. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 1. Some of you came in here sorrowful today, unhappy today. It'll override that if you'll believe the scriptures. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation. We received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how to be more plain than that. We were in tribulation. We had our problems. We were shipwrecked, snake bit, cold, hungry, beaten, robbed. But what overcame that was our joy in the Holy Ghost. What else would give Paul and Silas the right to sing praises in a Philippian jail after a very unhappy day? There is a joy of Jesus. Let's look at the next one. I got tickled. It's non-refundable. Non-refundable. Turn, please, to John 16, 22. Therefore, you two have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. There it is. We're going to talk about that next week. And no one will take your joy away from you. It's non-refundable. No one, not the devil himself, can take God's joy away. Now, the devil can take away your happiness. All he has to do is give you a flat tire going home this afternoon. In 105-degree heat, you're going to be unhappy. And guys, if you're married and she's sitting next to you, you're going to be real unhappy. Either that or you make her get out and change the tire, then everybody's unhappy. And by the way, in some cases, she probably knows more about changing tires than you do. Anyway. The next thing, it brings incredible peace. Turn, please, to Romans 14, 17. It brings incredible peace. Most of us have this horrible, horrible idea of what it is. Watch this. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. In other words, it's not rules keeping, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You want to be a real church? Do those three things. The righteousness clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, our crucified and raised Savior. We have peace. We are at peace now with God because of his active work upon the cross. And because of that, through gratitude, we now have joy in the Holy Ghost that overrides every other circumstance of my life. Next thing that we have, it brings believing. The more joy you have, it brings to you more believing in the promises of Jesus. Now watch this one. It brings victory out of affliction, trouble. It brings me victory. I want you to look, please, at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. Can we change these a little bit quicker? Okay. Therefore, watch this. It brings victory over what you're going through right now. It brings victory over what your circumstances dictate to you ought to be real bad. God has another word on this. Watch this very carefully. I think this is going to help a lot of you. Therefore, the writer of Hebrews says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have already gone before us, great men of God, prophets, the triumphant church. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sins which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Joy. He knew, if I get through this, there's going to be great joy in heaven. There is no sadness in heaven. There is no weeping in heaven right now. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now, interceding for your affliction. And he wants to give you and dispense into your heart, into your mind, and into your spirit. He wants to give you more joy than you're capable of receiving right now. If you don't get it today, it is not God's fault. He's saying, just let's go. My God is a gift-giving God. And he will not hold anything back from his children. And if you want joy today, by golly, under the authority of God's word, you can have all you want. He will give you all the joy that you desire today. That is a promise. So think about that in the next 5 minutes. Here's another thing. Let's go to Galatians 5:22. I think this will surprise a lot of you. Not a half of you, it'll surprise. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit that people eat off of, the thing that they see on us that they desire, the fruit of that Spirit is love, and look at the next one, joy. So I'll say it again. Don't tell me you're full of the Spirit if you don't have inner joy. It's a paradox. It's a dichotomy too great to, you can't reconcile it. That makes no sense. Let's go to the next one then. I'm just about done with these. I'm just going to say these to finish. It enhances prayer. It's progressive. It's contagious. It's the effect. Listen to this one. It's the effect of the cause. The only way I can have joy, the effect, is the cause. A crucified Jesus who died for my sins, adopted me into his family, the lineage of Abraham, and now I am secure through the blood of Christ and through the act of atonement and substitution and justification and adoption. It enhances. It enhances the effect and the cause. I'm just about done. But now we're going to get down to it. I have a little story to tell you. I think you'll enjoy this story. It meant something to me. When I started last Sunday afternoon, I thought, okay, joy. I'd seen what I saw on Saturday, and I thought, joy. This church is about to enter into joy. And I know, and I knew, and I still know more than ever, God is about to launch this church out on a worldwide influence. Okay? It's just going to happen. But why will people believe what we say? Because of our joy. So that's what started this whole thing. Well, I'm sitting there last Sunday afternoon. It's about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I suppose. And I'm sitting there, and I take lots of notes, just things that go into my mind. And then on Thursday, I throw all of those notes away after I put them down on 3 or 4. Then I throw my whole process of devotion and meditating on God's word it's like a funnel. I throw all this stuff in the funnel that has the same context and the same theme. But what comes out the little tip of that funnel, that's what I want. That's what I'm after. So, like, this week I filled up, and I told Jody yesterday, she said, the trash is coming. I said, well, I've got 2 full baskets of thrown away notes in my baskets out there. I need to take them outside. So it's pretty detailed. But I throw most of it away. About 99% of it is thrown away. And then I get down to this stock card with some ink written on it. But when I started, everything's available. I'll take out book. And, I remembered in my library that somewhere I had a book of quotes. I remembered that. Don't look at it much. I looked at it probably 5 years ago. But it's very secular. It's not a Christian book of quotes. There's atheists in there and agnostics and philosophers. It's about 3 inches thick, and it's probably 80 years old. It's just a book of quotes from famous people. Whether they were Christian or not doesn't matter to the editors of this book. It's hardback. It's kind of fallen apart. And I looked up and I looked in there and you can't even, it's so old that you can't even read the spine. But I knew that was it. So I took it out last Sunday afternoon. And I thought, I wonder if it says, has any quotes on joy. These books are real good for themes. You know, love. Okay, here's what everybody thought. And most of it, as a Christian, I disagree with the quotes. So I don't want you to go out and get this book of quotes, because a lot of it just makes you mad. They got it wrong. It's quoting Shakespeare. And, you know, atheists and philosophers and scientists and occasionally they'll throw in, or politicians, famous politicians, George Washington or Ben Franklin. But I disagree with a lot of what they say about certain subjects. But not this time. When I was 17 years old, you know that I surrendered to preach. And Brother Doug, within a week or two, my teacher, my mentor, he came to me and he said, John, I want you to read a man. I want you to read this book of the life of this man. It wasn't his sermons. To this day, I do not own a book of sermons by this man. I wish that I did. But this is the book he gave me of his sayings, of his quotes, of his life, of his biography. And I fell in love with this guy. He was born in 1826. He died in 1902 or 3, I think. I could look it up, but I know that he was born in 1826. He was a contemporary of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, but I'm telling you the truth. If you gave me a book of quotes by Spurgeon and a book of quotes by this man, I would choose this man 100% of the time. I just loved the way he talked. I loved the way he said things. I loved the way, and he was a great theologian. He was a British Baptist preacher. His name was Alexander McLaren. Most of you have never heard that name. But he is one of my dear saints that I can't wait. Again, if you set Spurgeon on the right and McLaren on the left, I would walk. And when I die and go to heaven and they're standing beside each other, I want to shake McLaren's hand first. I've always had great admiration for his words and his wisdom and his theology and his passion. And he had a church as big as Spurgeon's in England. But you don't hear much about Alexander McLaren. But I'm telling you the truth. I don't have a single sermon by Alexander McLaren. Wished I did. But as soon as I opened I saw the title Joy, and I started reading this guy, and that's wrong, that's stupid, that's dumb, that's ridiculous, that makes no sense. And all of a sudden, I read these most beautiful words, and I'm telling you, before I looked at who did it, I said, this is Alexander McLaren. And as soon as I finished reading the quote, I looked down at who signed it, and that it was Alexander McLaren. I thought, you old rascal, you got me again. Let me tell you what Alexander McLaren said about joy. Let's go to that quote. The highest joy, I got to say it like he said it. The highest joy to the Christian almost always comes through suffering. No flower can bloom in paradise which is not transplanted from Gethsemane. No one can taste of the tree of life that has not tasted of the fruits of the tree of Calvary. The cross is after the crown. Did you see what that just said? I just read that and I thought, man, I wished I could talk that way, write that way. The highest joy to the Christian almost always comes through suffering. No flower can bloom in paradise which is not transplanted from the Garden of Gethsemane. No one can taste the tree of life that has not tasted of the fruits of the tree of Calvary. The crown is after the cross. I want you to turn, please, and I'm just about done. Give me just a couple of minutes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, he's building something here. These are the reasons that we have joy. Let's start it over again. Because he's going to end with joy. But listen to what he's talking about. He's talking, why do we have joy? of all of the trouble and all the things that we're going through, what gives me the right to still have joy? He's describing it. Blessed be God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. I need somebody to say amen or I'm leaving. Because I'm walking out. Somebody go out. I pointed that way. My truck's over here. You say, what he did? He got mad. Because we didn't know amen. His church didn't know amen, the best news they're ever going to get. Sometimes we're going to give Jesus a standing ovation for what he's done. Let's start over again. Push a button. There it is. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Now you're getting it. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's still pretty pathetic, but five of you believe it. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. Have you say amen? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and in the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have... Good gracious... And though you have not seen him, Jesus, you love him. Say amen. Amen. And though you do not see him now, you believe in him. Say amen. Amen. Don't say amen if you don't believe it. You greatly rejoice. With joy inexpressible. And full of glory. I just think we're going to read. That was a test. We're going to read that again. Start back. Push it. Two buttons back. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. Who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Say amen. Amen. To a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Say amen. Amen. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Say amen. Undefiled. Say amen. Will not fade away. Say amen. Reserved in heaven for you. Say amen. Who are protected by the power of God. Say amen. Amen. Through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Say it. In this you greatly rejoice. Say amen. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed with various trials. Say amen if you have. So that the proof of your faith. Say amen. Being more precious than gold, which is perishable, say amen, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And though you have not seen him, say amen, and you love him, and though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. And full of glory. And get full of glory. Let's bow for a word of prayer. You want joy. You have to enter into it. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to start a little bit of music. Music is not to get you emotionally to do something. It's just to. If you're praying, people can't hear what you're saying because prayer is a very private thing. So it covers up what you may be saying to the Lord, and that's fine because it's private to the Lord. I don't need to hear your prayers. Neither does anybody else. But what we are going to do now, if you want to enter into joy in the midst of your problems, because we have something kind of special to do. I can't tell you what it is because I really don't know myself. I just heard about it, but I have no details on what we're about to do. But you won't have anything to do with it other than listen. But in your trials, and you know you're a believer in Jesus, and you want to enter into joy today, will you get up and join me at this altar right now? Just from all over. Somebody's got to be first. You mean nobody in this church wants joy? They're, oh, okay. I'm not saying you don't have affliction. If you can just kneel down here at the altar. Things are wearing us down. And we're full of church activities. But if we don't express joy, it's all a waste of time. The Pharisees were full of religious activities. The Pharisees were full of religiosity and rules and ordinances and law and stuff to do and forbidden things not to do. That's not Christianity. Christianity is joy and peace and the righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Now, this is how we're going to end our service. And as soon as he's done, Mike, you can dismiss it or pray over them or have Karen. We're going to read over you a psalm. It's Psalm 51. I don't know how it's going to be read, but they've got it figured out. So I want you to take this psalm personally. Mike, Karen, do it as slow as you have to. If you want them to repeat it, whatever. I now turn it over to you. And God bless you all.